Well, good evening. It is, you may be seated. It is a privilege for our church to be able to support the missionaries that we do and for the length of time that we have and the faithfulness that we've had toward them and the faithfulness that they've shown toward God. And tonight we get to look at one of our longtime missionaries who have been on the field for a very long time. We can now say as of this year for two decades. And this family is the Weimer family in Iceland. Brother Pat being very faithful, being in the Air Force and being stationed in Iceland, getting saved and having a burden for the people of Iceland, going off to Bible college, and the Lord working out the circumstances to allow him to go there and be able to minister, to take over a work that had started, to continue it, to see it faithfully provided for, and God working mightily in his hand, in that whole thing. So tonight we get to look at their latest letter from December. And the nice thing, you know, I went to their website, and Brother Pat is very punctual, and he's got all of his letters. They're all month by month, very on top of things, and faithfully ministering lots of different things that we could talk about tonight. But I'll let him speak through his letter tonight, what the work there has been showing through the month of December. So the month of December letter starts as, "December came and went so quickly. Our children's program was used of the Lord to see souls come to church who had not heard the gospel. Vicky had a great idea to have a cookie train. Lots of people baked Christmas cookies, including Patrick. These kids got in line and were able to pick one at a time as they passed the cookie table. How hard is that? To walk past a table full of cookies and you can only take one. Well, at least there's many different flavors there, so you can take one of many. The adults really appreciated our pouring out this love to their children. In the photo to the right, and you can, I'll keep this in the back for later. In the photo to the right are some of the children who attended each week. They're precious. Please pray for them as we try to increase our influence in the hearts and minds, in their hearts and minds for Christ. Thank you." So one of the interesting things about Iceland is, and we see that somewhat here in America too, that adults in America are pretty well set in their ways. Once you get past the age of just a young child through adolescence, through teenagers, maybe even through college students, often the doors and hearts become cold and closed and cold. And because of that, that is very much true in the country of Iceland, where the adults are a little bit more difficult to reach. But they have, for many years now, found a route to witness and to be able to get into homes and to be able to share the gospel with the adults through their children. And that ministry has come about by, well, we have a bus that we can go around to your houses and pick up your kids and bring them to schools, and that's a common thing here in America, to have a bus ministry and those things to be able to bring kids to church. And they do that and see many kids come in and many get saved as well. And that opens up an avenue when they would have a Christmas program to have their parents come and see them. Who doesn't want to see their kids in a play or a musical or a singing, those sorts of things? So it's a great avenue that the Lord has directed in their outreach to the Icelandic people. So thank you. The photo below left is of the kids singing during our Christmas outreach. What a joy to sing unto the Lord as we start 2009. We have started new programs for the children. They're growing up giving us a good group of teenagers now. And that's the thing. They've been ministering to many of these kids since they're just a handful of years old, 3, 4, 5 years old, all the way up into the teen years. And we've also seen several of them, one in particular that we've heard about in previous letters. Her full name escapes me. I'm not an Icelandic name scholar by any means. I believe it started with an M. And she was a bus captain, and now a teenager working and helping to lead other kids to Christ. It's a wonderful thing. Mm-hmm. So as we start 2019, we have started new programs for children. Okay, we started a teen church on Wednesdays. This is for Icelandic-speaking teens. This service follows our Ladies English Bible Study that Vicki leads. We moved our family service for Icelandic-speaking families to 1:30 on Sundays. This follows our English service that runs from 10:15 to noon. The photo below right gives us a glimpse into this ministry. Those in the photo are from Iceland, Haiti, Nepal, Germany, Romania, those are the ones that are in the foreground, and the Philippines and America in the background. It is truly an international ministry. God is letting us reach the world through this little island of Iceland. There are many temporary workers that will come to Iceland and work, given certain skill sets, whether they be low-skilled manual laborers or they be high-skilled people. And the common thread of the language is not Icelandic. It is English. And God has blessed in that to see a burgeoning English ministry in an Icelandic-speaking country. It always amazes me when we hear from our missionaries that go to foreign fields that, for me personally, language is a difficult thing. So for me to go to a new land and try to learn German or even Spanish, even though I had 4 years that I've forgotten from high school. I think everybody has those 4 years that they've forgotten. it's a difficult thing, but you know where God is leading and drawing those into ministry, God will provide the skills and the means and the training for all these things, including breaking down that language barrier as well. So God has done that here for Brother Pat. And not mentioned in this is his burden to translate the Bible, create a faithful translation of the Bible into Icelandic for the Icelandic people, with from the same Greek text that we get our King James Bible from, as well as referencing the King James Bible itself. So that's an ongoing ministry and a great burden to him too. It's quite time consuming. We have seen in the past just a small video of him just detailing the detailed nature of it is how you have to, of course, cross-reference several different sources, the Greek text, the King James Bible, dictionaries and the sources in English and in Icelandic, and trying to get it right, trying to get that faithful translation for the Icelandic people. So God is blessing in that. Just continue to pray for Brother Pat on that. So he says here they've posted all their letters for 2018 that they've written, one every month. Lots of information and links to help stay connected with the local work in Iceland. I also have a video log and a blog page with Bible devotions through our website. I trust this will be a blessing to those who wish to stay closely connected to what the Lord is doing in Iceland. And if you want to know the website, it's going to be on this page here. It's fbkiceland.com, and it all translates to First Baptist Church, but they have a special word, K, is don't ask me to pronounce it. fbkiceland.com is their church's website. Those who wish to stay connected to what the Lord is doing in Iceland, August 2019 will mark our 20th year in Iceland serving as missionaries. It is an honor. The work before us is great, but our God is greater. Thank you so much for your continued love, support, and prayers for the work of God in Iceland. Clayton leaves for Pensacola Christian College on the 16th. He is excited to conquer another semester. William is starting his third semester at VBC toward his double major in missions and church ministries and math education. Rosa has finished high school and is working and saving for college. They are working hard to pay their own way. She hopes to step out in September in pursuit of God's will. Please pray for all these items. And remember, if you desire to keep in touch, just look up our website and our Facebook pages too, which are pretty much up to date. So let's go ahead and pray for the Weimers. Lord, we thank you for this family that has gone and taken that charge that you've given them to go to the people of Iceland. taking that calling and living up to it, Lord, and pursuing it for now nearly 20 years. And Lord, we thank you that they've been faithful, that they, even when the trials have come, downturns and all the rest, they've leaned and looked to you to guide them through all these things. Lord, as we all should here, when the trying times come, to turn to you and hold on to you a little bit tighter. Lord, we thank you that we have a part in praying for their ministry and supporting them as well. And tonight we want to pray for the ministries that they have there, reaching out to the children in the community, for their bus ministry, which has blossomed again. And pray that you would use that to see souls saved, to even bring the adults in and see them saved in time as well. Lord, we thank you for just the outreach that it is to the English-speaking people that are there from many countries. And Lord, what a wonderful opportunity to minister to people from all over the world in one spot, Lord. And just pray that you continue to help that ministry grow there as well. We pray for their kids that are have now been ministering with their parents pretty much all their lives there in the country of Iceland. And Clayton going to PCC on the 16th. William starting back up his third semester at VBC, and their daughter Rosa in looking forward to what you have for her and desiring to be in your will, Lord. We pray that you would just continue to bless this family, help them in the building project that continues to go along, and pray that you'd bless there. Lord, just use them faithfully. Help us to continue to be faithful in prayer for them, Lord, where Lord, that's the most important thing that we can be doing for them. And Lord, we just thank you for the privilege that it is to support them. We ask this all in Jesus' name. Amen.
We could call these popcorn sermons. I don't think it'll be 5 minutes. So, but, if you would stand and let's turn to Luke chapter 18. We've got a springboard verse and just a few ideas here. And verse number one, it said, "And he spake a parable unto them to this end, that men ought to always pray and not to faint." Let's pray. Father, we do thank you again. Thank you for the letter that we got from our missionary, the Weimers. And Father, we're thankful for the Cooks and their support coming up. Father, I thank you for this church and what it stands for. And we do pray for safety for Pastor and Lisa as they go up to Portland, and for safety in Lisa's travel and Pastor's travel back. Father, we just thank you that this church stands for the Word of God. We thank you that we can be a lighthouse into this area of Corvallis. And I thank you, Father, for the testimony that goes forth. But Father, I thank you also for the prayerfulness of this church. And I thank you that we can look to you and know that when we come to prayer, that we can walk literally into your throne room and we can ask petitions of you. And Father, we thank you for that. We thank you for that blessing. And we do ask now that you'll just have your way with this little challenge. And I pray, Father, that our hearts would be open for what you'd have us to learn from it, that we would use it in our lives and be able to walk a little more victorious as a result. And we do ask it in Jesus' precious name. Amen. Amen. All right, you can be seated. And my wife and I are having a good challenge going through devotions and I'm making sure that I'm doing them like I'm supposed to. And one of them that I ran into at the beginning of the year was talking about patterns for prayer. And it kind of set me onto this. And Brian, we were talking about Pastor, the weather and stuff. And we just said, let's give him a break. And so we are. We're giving him a break tonight. So anyway, this little challenge is about patterns, and what this one devotion started out, and it led me to another devotion that I'm going to hopefully get it in for you tonight. But it discussed the Lord's Prayer and the pattern of it, the model prayer, and we've had lessons on that. Of course, Matthew 6, 9 through 13, is how we're to incorporate into our prayers things of adoration, confession, thanksgiving, and supplication. And the types of prayers that it talked about in there were praise, repentance, asking, interceding, speaking the word, and enjoying his appearance. And that's probably the one that I think all of us enjoy. But as I was going through this, I've had a book that I've had for years called The Golden Key to Prayer, and it was by Charles Spurgeon, and it's just filled with prayer and praises, you know, written in his eloquent manner to get you to think about things. And the one thing that kept creeping out was about intercession. And, you know, even though books are nice and they're nice reference, they should never override the Word of God. So with that, I hit me about intercessory prayer and what it really comes down to. And what I want to read at the end here is a devotion that was written by Oswald Chambers. And I'm sure we all have read something from him. Well, this one was specifically about it. But if you look in Scripture about what intercession is in Scripture, and I'm just going to go down through a short list here of them, because I just looked up intercession. But if you were to actually do a word study on intercession, there's a whole variety of other words you can come up with dealing with intercession, like meeting, or let's see, what was the other one? Falling, or fell, reacheth, meet, entreat, meeteth, reacheth, betwixt, where, you know, you think intercession, you're going to come in between there. And there's a whole myriad. So if you go down through, you can really see how intercession works. But intercession itself, if you look, for instance, Isaiah 53:12, Jesus' future work once he gets back into heaven. You know, therefore I will divide him in a portion with the great, and he shall divide the spoil with the strong, because he hath poured out his soul unto death. He was numbered with the transgressors, and he bare the sins of many and made transition for the transgressors. Or in Jeremiah 7:16 was God's command not to intercede. He was telling the prophet, you know, don't go in there because of their unbelief. And then there was a commandment to the false prophets to prove themselves in Jeremiah 27:18. Yeah, he said, if they be prophets, and if the word of the Lord be with them, let them make intercession to the Lord of hosts, you know, challenging them. Then there was a pleading to the king not to destroy the roll in Jeremiah 36:25. And of course, when they pleaded for him not to do that, to intercede, not to destroy it, king destroyed it anyway. And then there was in Romans 8:26-27, the role of the Holy Spirit in working for us in our prayer life, and how God will help us on our behalf if you look at it. Likewise, the Spirit also helpeth our infirmities, for we know not what we should pray as we ought, but the Spirit itself maketh intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. And he that searcheth the hearts knoweth what the mind of the Spirit, because he maketh intercession for the saints according to the will of God. And of course, Romans 8:34, where he talks about Christ's work when he on behalf of us in heaven. And then Paul talks about how the prophet Elijah was told that, or he told God, I'm just by myself here, after he had his issue with Jezebel, 1 Kings 19, 10, 18. But in Romans 11:2, God hath not cast away his people, which he foreknew. What spirit or the scripture saith of Elias, how he maketh intercession to God against Israel. And then, of course, in Hebrews 7:25, again, Christ's work on in heaven for us, where it says that, you know, he will liveth to make intercession for them. So if you look at intercessory prayer on its own, you'd think, well, only the saints of God, you know, the Old Testament saints, the prophets, God, Christ, the Holy Spirit can intervene. But, and I've heard some people say things like, well, you shouldn't pray for, or I found nowhere in Scripture where it says we're supposed to pray for the lost. I kind of scratched my head a little bit and it says, and this was a very prominent person. I won't say his name, but you might run across an article he's written where he actually states that. He says, I'll challenge anybody to show me. Well, you know, if you go to 1 Timothy, and turn there with me, chapter 2, and that's going to be the basis of what I want to look at. Get out of 2 Timothy, get back to 1 Timothy. And it said, and Paul's telling Timothy that, giving him some direction here. And remember, and it's been more than one person that I've run across that has said, you know, why should we pray for the lost? We're nowhere commanded to do that. Well, then, Brother Brian, I guess our prayer list shouldn't be written out, huh? Well, here he says, right here, in I exhort thee, therefore, that first of all, supplications, prayers, intercession, giving of thanks be made for all men, for kings and for all that are in authority, that you may lead a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness and honesty. For this is good and acceptable in the sight of God our Savior, who will have all men be saved and to come unto the knowledge of the truth. So I say, fooey on those people. In fact, I gave Pastor a little note from one segment in there that talked about those all men, had that one little select group that Brother Brian keeps bringing up here. But it's all men. All means all. And so it's important. You know, supplications. I had a note here as I was going through. Supplications, it's not easy to mark the difference in the meaning of the words used, but it's to relate to prayer and to refer to the different parts of prayer or distinct classes. You know, in other words, supplication, when you think on it, is that they're used to denote that petitions to arise from a sense of need. Supplications, when you think of that. The other is, you know, prayers. Prayers, you know, we have our prayer list. We come to God. And the wonderful thing of that, the fact that when we're saved, we can literally walk into the throne room of God. We can walk in there and he welcomes us in. Because when it talks about intercession, one of the definitions is seeking request to enter the king's presence. That's pretty good. Esther did that. It doesn't say intercession, but she requested to go in and talk to the king on a burden that she had been laid on her about, well, king, my people are going to be destroyed and I need some help. It basically paraphrasing how she put it. And intercessions is very much the same way. It's just that means that we're standing in the middle is what we're really doing. When we pray for our missionaries, what are we doing? We're interceding for them. When we're praying for somebody that's sick, we're interceding for them. And when we're praying for all men, and, you know, it tells us here, making thanks, you know, thankful for what people have done in our lives, we're literally interceding on their behalf is what it really comes into. Just as Christ intercedes for us, the very same way when Satan tries to mess things up for us and they try to accuse us, he intervenes and says, oh, no, they're saved, they're under my blood. And like we like to say, you know, here, Father, put on my glasses, you know, put on the Jesus glasses so that we're seen through that. Satan makes that. So, you know, we see people that anguished in prayer to ask God for specific things. I mean, Abraham, he negotiated with God. I guess that's a good way to, you know, okay, God, you know, it starts out with, what, 50 people and ends up working down to just a few. But yet he made sure that Lot was taken care of before he destroyed Sodom and Gomorrah. How many times did Moses intervene with God? And then, of course, God intervened with Moses when Moses wanted to destroy him because they were mean to Moses. But yet he approached God. He was the intermediary. Daniel, in Daniel 9. Here was a man that just poured his heart out to God to because his people. He knew that the time was coming to the end. And I'm sure he was thinking in the back of his mind, these people haven't learned their lesson. God, are you going to extend their time in captivity? And it was kind of asking in that way. He says, Lord, I know I'm a sinner. He says, these people have sinned. He says, I'm coming before you. So when we think about that type of approach, intercessory prayer, Oswald Chambers kind of laid it out, and I'm going to read it and kind of close with it. But it's this devotion, and I don't remember what day he utilized it for, but it came from his book, My Utmost for His Highest. And he says, you cannot truly intercede through prayer if you do not believe in the reality of redemption. That's the number one thing, redemption. If we're not saved, we can't enter into the throne room. So therefore, we need to understand that. Instead, you will simply be turning intercession into useless sympathy for others, which will serve only to increase the contentment they have for remaining out of touch with God. My thoughts and prayers are with you. How many times have we heard that? I'll pray for you. I like that. When my wife hears a prayer request, immediately, whatever she's doing, she stops and she gets on her knees. And I think we have a lot of other people here that do the very same thing. When we hear that request, we stop and we say, Lord, please. And that's so important. So true intercession involves being the person or the circumstance that seems to be crashing into you before God until you are changed by his attitude toward that person or circumstance. In other words, we intervene in such a way that we actually take on that person's burden. And I think when we're praying for a lost person or somebody that's ill, we literally take that burden on. Intercession means to fill up with that which is lacking in the afflictions of Christ. Taken from Colossians 1:24, which says, who now rejoice in my sufferings for you and fill up that which is behind the afflictions of Christ in my flesh for his body's sake, which is the church. And it says, this is precisely why there are so few intercessors. When you think about that, true intercessors. We had years ago a missionary when we were in another church, and they were on the field, and these folks had not had rain for a long time. And they were saying, you're a missionary, you know, would you pray with us about this? So they got down there and they prayed around, and the missionary got up to leave, and they said, but it's not raining yet. We need to pray until it rains. And, you know, poor, being the American missionary is, he goes, okay. Well, fortunately, the prayers were answered. You know, but he was, okay, we said our prayer and moved on. They were asking for this person to be an intercessor. Please pray with us about this. And that's so important that when somebody says that, pray with me. And it's there. It's putting yourself in someone else's place. That is not true. Intercession is putting yourself in God's place. We're stepping into the throne room. It's having his mind and his perspective. Some people say, well, you can't pray for a lost person because you're going to force God to have to change his mind. And we know what kind of people say that, right? God wants all men saved. All means all, not a few, not a select, not the predestined or whatever. As an intercessor, be careful not to seek too much information from God regarding the situation that you're praying about, because you may be overwhelmed. God, please answer this prayer. George Mueller, when he prayed, story after story I've heard, where literally the children were waiting for milk to be put on the table, and they prayed for milk, and a milk wagon broke down in front of their, you know, various things like that. I've heard of other people that have prayed for support for some reason and that never asked anybody else but prayed for that support, and the money was there, taking care of them. So if you know too much, more than God has ordained for you to know, you can't pray. The circumstances of the people becoming so overpowering that you were no longer able to get to the underlying truth. In other words, you know, that's why God only tells us just so much. What's he say? The word is a lamp unto my feet. The description is a candle. Not an LED light that's, you know, 300 or 400 lumens at the base of your feet. It's a candle that shows you just the next step. Just one so you don't maybe step over the precipice of something. Just enough information. Our work is to be in such close contact with God that we may have his mind about everything. So when we enter into prayer. But we shrink that responsibility by substituting doing for interceding. And yet intercession is the only thing that has no drawbacks, because it keeps our relationship completely open with God. We don't have to worry about the Wi-Fi connection. It's always there. There's jokes about that one too. But, you know, that's, you know, God's first wireless contact that we have. And if you're in Texas, it's a local call and not a long distance call. You know, people make jokes about that. What we must avoid in intercession is praying for someone to be simply patched up. We must pray that person completely through into contact with the very life of God. Think of the number of people God has brought across our path, only to see us drop them. When we pray on the basis of redemption, God creates something he can create in no other way than through intercessory prayer. So when we think about our prayer life really is intercessory. We are trying to get God's mind when we're praying about things. What's God's will for it? You know, a lot of times those answers, you know, it might be no, it might be yes, it might be maybe, it might be wait. And it's becoming more and more evident to me. So, you know, when people say, well, no, we shouldn't pray for the lost people, but we should pray for laborers to go out and witness. That's important too. But lost souls, that should be our burden. Because why were we left on this earth? Why were we, you know, when we got saved. Why did we get saved? To spread the gospel. And that's the important thing. So the challenge, and it's really a challenge to me as well, is how is your prayer life? 1 Timothy tells us, 2:1 tells us, encourages us, in supplication, prayers, intercession, and giving thanks be made for all men. And then he includes in those in authority. We need to be praying for our government. We are in desperate times. We know that challenges are all about us. Those that love the Lord, read our Bible, study and pray. And I know this is a praying church. And I'm excited to be part of that. And to look daily down through that list that's put together and to see that list grow. I had one friend of mine, he had a variety of church directories that he had been in touch with, and different missionaries. And those were his prayer lists. He'd have a certain group on this day and a certain group on this day, you know, each day of the week. So he was always, and of course he was retired, so he would putter in the garden, but he always had that list for him as he was going down through there, working in his dahlias. He'd look over at that prayer list and he'd work for a while. I was seeing today, sometimes gardening is just that. Time to be with God. But how is our prayer life? And, you know, this year I've committed myself, and my wife, I have asked her to challenge me, and maybe each one of us to look at each other and say, how is our prayer life? How are we doing? Are we praying as we should? I know I get woken up in the middle of the night, and I'm sure each one of us do too. What a wonderful time to say, Lord, I guess I got woke up for a purpose. And say what do I need to pray for? I sometimes do that, but that's the challenge on me. I wanted to just share it with you tonight, and we might get out of here shortly. Let's pray. Father, again, I thank you for this time. I thank you for your truth. I thank you, Father, that you open your door to us. When the veil was rent, it was torn from the top to the bottom, signifying you opened up the Holy of Holies so that we could come into there when we know you as our Savior. And we want to live a life that's right for you. I thank you, Father, that when we know that we aren't right in our lives, we have sin or something's holding us back, that all we need to do is ask for forgiveness and we can enter into that room completely cleaned. And we thank you, Father, that you love us. You want the best for us. And Father, you want us to be soul winners. You want us to be prayer warriors. And you want us to be those intercessors that know your mind in all of the areas that we need to know, but only the ones that you let us know. And I thank you, Father, for that. And I thank you for the time. And I do ask for safety for those that are traveling. And I ask this all in Jesus' precious name. Amen. Amen.
All right, let's stand. Let's pick up.